Okay, does anyone have any questions? Right?
Really interesting. I wonder if you could just say a little bit more about this. Well, one of the things that Kant is credited with kind of forging a new concept of experience, something that's no longer beholden to kind of to criticism, the idea of cognitive experience. Experience as discursively structured through cognitive judgment. Could you say, and obviously that operates through kind of the syntheses of understanding, etc. Could you say a bit more about what valence the term experience retains once it's kind of generalized? When you talk about a social synthesis of experience, what does experience say? What does it actually
describe? It's a difficult question, mainly because it's kind of trying to import something alien to Marxist theory into Marxist theory. I mean, that's one of the real peculiarities of Sohn-Raphael's project, which I'm really kind of just, this isn't very much an original paper, it's kind of just an adaptation of his work to this problem of transcendental realism. But so, you know, I'm a bit unsure how to answer. I mean, there's a definite sense in which, you know, for example, in the early sections of the German ideology, Marx and Engels will talk about how kind of discursive conditions and all these things are kind of originally part of the kind of integrals of social practices. So, but it's very ambiguous. It's not very precise, and in a way, it almost kind of seems to be talking about some kind of collective, I'd almost want to say some kind of collective form of consciousness or something like that. It's very imprecise. So, but then for them, that kind of breaks down with the emergence of kind of modern forms of production. So, in terms of this, you know, a kind of general sense of experience. I mean, I guess the big problem is somehow bridging the notion of the experience of an individual with a kind of generalized social sense of experience, which I don't really know how you would do. Sohn-Raphael's work really kind of reads like a prolegomena to that kind of question. So I don't know if that's hardly unsatisfactory as an answer.
I've got an intermediary point, which would be some people would say that, for instance, Hegel builds upon Kant's kind of the discursivity of thought by introducing a social dimension to that discursivity. And then it would be logical to say that, well, that Marx would just be taking over.
I think that's right.
A kind of thing. So the idea is, okay, well, experience is conceptually structured, but concepts are socially structured, so blah, blah.
Exactly. I mean, that's in the few kind of insufficient points at which you get the sense, it is very Hegelian. I mean, that is certainly their main philosophical effort in the German ideology, for example, against the other Hegelians of their time. But
I mean, I think that's the right way to understand this, but then the problem is that if you have this kind of, you know, transcendental constitution, social institution, that's fine, but from a Marxist point of view, it's still the normative structures of experience are still situated within the realm of cognitive rationality. And so it would seem, this would still be too Hegelian.
Yeah.
And you still have to understand because the conditions of production, relations of production, are precisely what are, you know, is out. That's the ultimately kind of determining instance. That seems to be kind of the real material condition determining this kind of normatively structured experience. And so the question is how are those two levels kind of articulated?
Yeah.
And is the claim simply that that must be human beings that assert their kind of collective autonomy at the social level by re-inscribing material conditions of social existence into the realm of cognitive experience. So, in other words, so that they know and understand why society is structured in this way and why human beings relate to one another in this way.
No, I think that's right. I mean, that's the way I generally understand it. I mean, the point is precisely to, on the one hand, account for the emergence of these things, and like I said, not to historicize them. I mean, clearly, Marx would like to retain the ability to make scientific claims and not reduce them to some kind of relativity of them. But also, on the other hand, to be able to account for within the discursive space, within just our normal day-to-day experience, these conditions of their emergence.
So just one final point. How would you situate Althusser's argument? Because Althusser would say ideology is kind of ineliminable, and
yeah,
always is always retained. One classic materialist critique of freedom is freedom is just ideology, it's kind of ideological things, miscognition, and that ultimately there's some fundamental revision. You need to kind of this social cognitive transformation entails a kind of a radical reconstruction or revision of what we understand by experience.
Yeah.
It's not clear then that, well, in which case then it's not clear that the kinds of accounts of, Kant is a philosopher who kind of, places this idea of freedom, rational self-determination as at the center of the entire critical enterprise. Do you think that would still be retained after this radical transformation? And in which case, would it just be kind of collectivized? Or would that idea of kind of rule-bound rational normativity precisely be part of the ideological machinery that needs to be abandoned?
I think there's a certain I'd almost want to say appeal in Althusser's insistence on this kind of unsurpassability of ideology, this kind of structural necessity of ideology. I'd almost want to say that like the mode would be a way of inhabiting ideology if this involves, if you want to understand the normative space itself as ideologically determined, a way of inhabiting it in a critical fashion so that you're kind of repurposing it from the inside out or something like that. I don't think an abandonment of it is possible, let alone, warranted or appealing. I don't think a historical materialist would want that if they are going to be a scientific thinker in that regard. I tend to have mixed feelings about Althusser because I think it's good the scientificity he tries to return to Marxism, but at the same time he kind of does it at the cost to be a little, resort to cliches a little bit, at the kind of price of suffocatingly, making it suffocatingly structural in some sense. I'm still not entirely sure where to situate Althusser in this regard. And I think his resort to the kind of aleatory materialism stuff at the end of his life is kind of a symptom of his inability to think a more